The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to writer Dale Sherman, who has authored a series of detail-driven film and music books. His latest is Quentin Tarantino FAQ, a vital backgrounder for anyone fascinated by the Pulp Fiction filmmaker. Stick around. This ain't your father's Royale with cheese. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Dailymotion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you preferred to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of washed-up 90s stars, hoping Quentin Tarantino will give them a second shot at fame. And if not him, then maybe Dale Sherman will at least make them a footnote in his next FAQ in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. How much does anyone really need to know about Quentin Tarantino that can't be derived from watching movies such as Pulp Fiction, Natural Born Killers, or Django Unchained? That was my attitude until a few months ago when I read Jason Bailey's beautifully illustrated coffee table book, Pulp Fiction, The Complete Story of Quentin Tarantino's Masterpiece. It was quite fascinating, backed up with voluminous details and insights. Still, after absorbing all of that, why would I need Dale Sherman's nearly 400-page epic on top of it, Quentin Tarantino FAQ? Well, turns out there is still much to learn, dots to connect, and trivia to be plumbed. This guy Tarantino is one inglorious bastard, and the books prove it. Now, what I particularly like about Sherman's book is the way it groups information. There are chapters on everything from individual Tarantino movies to his legendary public confrontations, lost projects, and even product placements. There is even a chapter about books on Quentin Tarantino. Talk about an inside joke! It is, quite simply, a fun read. And it's not Sherman's first. He also did FAQ books on the rock band Kiss and films about Armageddon, of all things. Dale Sherman, welcome to Mr. Media.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Dale, can there ever be too much written about Quentin Tarantino?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will wonder about it, especially people who don't really care for Quentin Tarantino. But I think there's still areas that could be covered about him. Especially, we're talking about a guy whose story hasn't ended yet. So there's still a lot of that story left to be told. And with that, there's also a lot of things that have come out more recently about him where he has talked about things, other people have talked about him. You get more details about certain of his movies, certain of the things that happened to him that hadn't been anywhere else. And plus, you got to remember, a lot of the books that have come out, it's been a few years since a lot of them. The one you mentioned in your introduction, the Pulp Fiction one, which I had to, when I actually picked it up, I had to put it aside. I was afraid of looking at it because I was like, this is the kind of information I'm going to be talking about in my book and more, and I don't want to even look at that book. I'm afraid of wanting to take something from her and saying, no, I can't talk about that because he did. So besides that one, there hadn't really been a whole lot of recent books, and the ones that have come out tend to be more about, well, here's what he meant by this, here's what he meant by that, and not about a history, and that's what I wanted to deal with.
I have to tell you something funny. You wouldn't be here if Jason Bailey had followed through and done an interview for his book. The publisher sent me his book, and I thought, hey, this is fun, and I read it, figuring we would do the interview, and then Jason backed out.
Oh, really?
And so, you know, I had this very expensive book and no interview. And then when your book came along, I thought, well, I've already read one book. I could read another. So his loss, your gain.
Fine by me.
I figured. So why give this kind of treatment to Quentin versus doing, say, Woody Allen or Martin Scorsese, or even John Hughes, who I just did a book. I just read another book about.
Sure. I think in the case of Tarantino, we're talking about one of the most controversial of the popular directors. And Scorsese, I think, has had a lot of books written about him that really kind of tell everything you need to know about him. I think with Woody Allen, he's controversial in a different way, you could say. And I really not wanting to get into that kind of material when I talk about a director. Also, Woody Allen wouldn't be a bad idea for something like this, but Tarantino was offered to me. I was looking around for a book and to do. In fact, I had a project in mind. And my publisher said, well, look, you did this one on End of the World movie, the Armageddon film FAQ. So you probably would be good to do this one we're thinking about for Tarantino. And I thought, you know, I really do like his work. It'd be an interesting project. So I took it on.
Fair enough. By the way, the Armageddon book that you did that include Simon Pegg's World's End movie?
Yeah, I was able to just squeeze that in. I finished the book right when that came out, so I was able to just squeeze it in very briefly. In fact, I was hoping when I was working on it that maybe I could get Peg to write an intro for the book, but I never could get anywhere with that. Knowing that he's a geek himself, I thought I might be able to do something, but in the world of movie business, it's hard sometimes to get in touch with people, so... if he ever picks it up, I hope he enjoys it. I didn't really get to say too much about his book, but about his movie. I did get to talk about Shaun of the Dead a bit. So.
Okay. And coming back to this book on Quentin Tarantino, how deep did you have to dig to find new facts, or was the challenge to organize existing knowledge along new subject lines?
Well, usually with the books I do, I spend a lot of time in research. Research is the basic part of what I do. I like to talk about a lot of things that people have forgotten about. And it's one reason why I don't do a whole lot of interviews, actually, because interviews tend to be with people in the present day trying to remember things from years ago. When you get some of the old articles, some of the old interviews, they're talking about things with more emotion, more immediate recollection about things. And I think that really helped to make a book better by doing that kind of research. And then you get into situations where, like Tarantino saying, oh, you know, I never did much with this script. And then you get another interview with him where he says, oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, I did do something with that script. And I used this part and this part and this part. If you only had that one interview where he said, I don't remember, you're stuck. And so with research, my wife thought I was crazy. I had a pile of books about him. I had interviews from libraries, research and things. There was like a stack about this big. And you just start digging through all that stuff, put it in order, and dish it out, basically.
What are some of your favorite categories in the FAQ?
Well, I think my favorite category overall was the one that a lot of fans talk about, which is the universes. Tarantino himself has said that he had two universes. He tended to put his movies into a movie universe and a realer-than-real universe. The realer-than-real universe is stuff like Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs, where it looks like it could be something that happens in this world, but just a little bit past it, a little more vibrant, a little more extraordinary. And then the movies tend to be his films that have a sense of fantasy in them, like From Dusk to Dawn with vampires in it, that kind of thing. So he dealt with those, and then he got crossover characters that visit both worlds, in a sense. And people argue about, well, where are the connections between these movies?
In the chapter, An Excellent View of My Foot, you reveal, it's a great title, you reveal recurring visuals and concepts in Tarantino movies. Can you share a few of those, including the foot?
Well, of course, the first one is the foot thing. And as some fans know, Tarantino has an interest, let's just say, in feet. You see it right on the screen in From Dusk Till Dawn, where he's sucking on toes in that film. And he, in his very first script, My Best Friend's Birthday, he talks about having a foot fetish. The character has a foot fetish. So there's always this thing with the feet. And once you know that, you go and look at his movies, and it's up for like Reservoir Dog, where you don't want to see anybody's feet anyway. You're going to see feet in loving close-up in most of his movies. And it's just fascinating because it's something that's like, you know, I never really thought about until somebody pointed that out. And then suddenly it's all there. He also has a thing with bathrooms, and not in a bad way, but it's like a lot of characters tend to go into bathrooms and come up with some kind of life-changing moment happening in front of them. Happened to Vincent in Pulp Fiction. Every time you go to the bathroom, something crazy happens when he comes out. And also, I think the other big one that people know is that Tarantino always has a eating or drinking scene where people are crowded around the table talking, and there's food or they're drinking. Of course, Red Bull Dog opens that way with the breakfast scene. But every other movie he's done since then has always had people kind of sitting around the table and gabbing. Hopefully, good kind of gab that moved the movie along. He tended to do a bit of that in Death Proof, where it seemed to go on for a bit longer than it really needed to. It's like, we're going to see the whole movie.
You mentioned Death Proof, and
I was kind of hard on Death Proof there. I admit it. I know.
Well,
I'd be that way about it, but go ahead.
It always seemed to me that the issue with Death Proof was that everything went on a little too long. Mm-hmm. That he was a little too self-indulgent, that if he had edited the film a little tighter, made the scenes a little shorter, it would have been a more revered film.
I think so, too. I think so, too. As you may recall, I named the chapter talking about that movie. So now someone wants to finally get to the point, right, which is much a feeling a lot of people had when watching the movie. I think that what's really the problem with the movie, and I talked about this in the book, as I state, as anybody who reads it will see, it's not completely gushing, fanboy type of writing. I am willing to say, you know, this movie could have been better. Death Proof, to me at least, as a viewer, could have been a better movie if the first half of the film was a lot shorter. I think there's something about those characters going to a bar and basically getting drunk. And that's all we see for a long time. And the characters are not very interesting. They're not very nice. You just don't have anything invested in them. And I know the whole point is to do this last victim, the last virgin kind of thing. Okay, this girl's going to survive. Or we need to show how evil this guy is. But in setting all that up, and I compare it to Psycho in a way. Some people were crazy for me. Crazy. They thought I was crazy for thinking that was the way to go with it, to compare it to Psycho. But Psycho starts off with one story. Suddenly it turns into another story. And that's the same thing with Death Proof in a way. It starts off with these characters, and then suddenly it stops and turns into another story. I could see what he was trying to do there, but I just didn't think it worked because we just didn't care about these characters.
Well, you mentioned From Dusk Till Dawn before, and now Death Proof, which of course was part of the Grindhouse double feature, both of which connect Tarantino to Robert Rodriguez. And I saw on Rodriguez's El Rey cable channel this great, I think it's two-part, maybe three-part interview with Rodriguez and Tarantino. It's a great conversation between these two friends. I was curious, after researching the book, do you have any thoughts on why these two are such a good fit, why they get along so well, why they work together so often?
I really think that Rodriguez came at the right time for Tarantino. He was somebody on the same level as him. They both had the first film come out basically at the same time. And they connected for that reason. I think Rodriguez is somebody who can tell Tarantino when something's good or bad, and actually isn't drawn to Tarantino as somebody who a big star or anything. And I think that's a lot of it right there. Just being able to actually be friends and being able to be truthful with each other, and I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah, they're both very unique filmmakers, and
definitely.
Yeah, Dusk Till Dawn is a great film. It's scary as hell, but
yep.
And well, you talk in the book about Quentin as a character in the chapter about him acting. That's one where he gets to act and does not make us love him.
I like Tarantino in From Dusk Till Dawn in particular because he is actually playing a character. Too often when he appears in film, he's playing Quentin Tarantino and doesn't get a chance to really be an actor. In fact, in that chapter, I also talk a little bit about his Broadway appearance in Wait Until Dark. And I wanted to mention that in the book because it tends to be looked at as the ultimate failure of Tarantino as an actor. Oh, he was on Broadway and it bombed and all that. And actually, it didn't really bomb. It actually went the entire length of time he was supposed to run on Broadway. And the reviews were actually fairly decent for him. The negative reviews tended to be more about how the play hasn't aged very well. And so you got these characters that hadn't really aged very well, and actors, very good actors. I'm not talking about necessarily Tarantino, but all the other actors in it, not being able to really do much with it, and Tarantino was stuck in there. So you got these negative reviews, and people tend to say, oh, well, he was terrible, and it wasn't really like that. But that's something that helped with research, in a sense, that area where research really came into play and helped give a better picture of what happened.
Do you think there's any real demand for Quentin Tarantino as an actor other than in his own movies or his friends' movies?
I think just as he looks at different actors of the past and say, I can use him and do something really creative with him, I'm sure there's somebody out there that could do the same thing with him.
I personally, as a filmmaker, he's incredible. As an actor, I find him to be kind of a one-trick pony. it's always the aggressive hands, the talking too fast, trying to seem to make every word so clever, and he never really is in a role that he's kind of relaxed and he's acting. It just always seems like another. It's just Quentin being Quentin.
Well, they would get back to Rodriguez. I think Rodriguez really worked him well in From Dusk Till Dawn. Shoots his hand off, basically. He can't use his hand like he usually does. I think a strong director could really do something with him. But admittedly, I think he's a better writer and director than an actor. And I think he knows that, too.
Now, when we get every time we get George Clooney, we know what we're getting. It's sort of a variation on Clooney, but there are so many different shades of Clooney. When we get Quentin Tarantino, there's pretty much just one shade for the most part. And, you know, he doesn't. I guess he doesn't have the time to invest in becoming a great actor, but I don't think there's a demand for it either. So.
Yeah. There's just something about him that I think we've seen him in too many interviews. We've seen him too often being Quentin. And so nobody looks at him as being anything else than Quentin. Like I said, somebody I think at some point could possibly do something with him. I think he needs a strong hand too, because again, you got this complex that happens with other famous directors in that somebody gets so high up, you're almost afraid to say something to them and say, oh, you got to tone it down. You got to back up a little bit, stop it with this. Because it's Quentin Tarantino, he knows what he's doing. And so I think there's a little bit of fear in dealing with that. Well, I had a little bit of fear writing the book, because I'm like, this is the ultimate film geek. Who am I to write a book about him? You know, I'm going to say something, and he's going to say, oh, that crap, you don't know what you're talking about. Worried about that. I actually worried about it. And I'm like, you know, I got to let that go and just write about him.
One of the real fun chapters in the book is the Quentin Tarantino's Welcome Back, Kotter reference, and you put together all the parodies of Tarantino. Did you have a favorite after you had seen so many of these?
There is a couple of favorites I really like, and the one I really, really like is one done by a student that like the whole Kill Bill saga in a minute, where it's taking the girl who supposed to be Beatrice, you know, supposed to be we follow through the film, and it's a football field, and it's just following her from one end of the football field to another with everything that happens in the movie along the way, and her being buried, breaking out, her getting her baby, hey, it's the winning score of the game. That one I really enjoy. I think they did a great job with that one. The other one I really enjoy is one where it's an animated cartoon of bunnies. There's one for Pulp Fiction, I believe, and there's one for Reservoir Dogs. There might be a couple of others as well. But those are really great. Those are really fun, quick things. Some of the longer ones just go on too long trying to make a point.
As usual. all right, a last question, I think. Finally, in the chapter, Did I Break Your Concentration, you look at what is knowable or known about abandoned Tarantino projects. Some like Hateful Eight, we think that's being made, right? But that was up in the air for a while. Why should we, after we learn all this stuff about all the movies he's actually made and the appearances he's made and product placements, everything about him, why should we still care about things that he hasn't made?
I think that's interesting. I think fans like that kind of thing, to say, oh, what if? What if he had done that? What if he had done this? What if he had done that Green Lantern movie? What if he had done Casino Royale, which is one he really wanted to do? And that's a story in itself. You can talk about, and I do talk about in the book, hey, this guy really wanted to do this and had everything laid out in order to make this movie to go back to the beginning of the James Bond character and really push that. And they told him no. And then the next movie is Casino Royale, and they pushed the character back to the beginning. And if you just can't look at that and say, oh, they didn't listen to what he had to say. They listened to him and then turned him down, and they got somebody else to do it. So that's interesting. I think it's interesting to know that he cared so much about comic books that he wanted to do a Luke Cage Power Man movie after doing Reservoir Dogs, and actually was actively working on a script, trying to get it together, and then abandoned it to do a Pulp Fiction. That's fascinating to me. Maybe not to everybody, but it's fascinating to me.
I would have liked to have seen his Luke Cage movie, and it's interesting, just today there's news about, of course, there's a Luke Cage TV series coming from Netflix. You know, mm-hmm. Maybe if Tarantino hadn't been interested at one point, that would have never happened. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? And I think actually what's interesting, and I talk about this a little bit in the book too, not to get away from the topic, but Tarantino has always talked about how he's been looking into doing mini-series type material. And I would not be surprised if he decided to do that at some point with something like Netflix or Amazon or one of the others, or El Rey even, where he take all that material that he wants to stick in a movie and can't because it'd be a four-hour movie like Kill Bill, and do a miniseries. I bet you that'll happen at some point before he's completely done.
All right. And Dale, last question. What's next? Do you have another book in the works?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm working on one right now about the MASH phenomenon, the book, the movie, and the TV series. And I'm about a quarter of the way through that. I'm spending a lot of time trying to remind people about the actual novel that MASH was based on, the series was based on. And there's like a whole series of books that came out that people tend to forget all about, with famous writers having worked on those. And then after that, I just signed a deal to write about another director in the FAQ series, and this one will be Mel Brooks.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And he's still alive, amazingly enough.
Yeah, yeah, and there might be doing something. So.
Well, listen, you got to come back when the Mel Brooks book comes out, but the MASH book, I'm one of the guys, I read every single MASH novel when I was in high school. I read them. I remember riding my bicycle to the New Brunswick, New Jersey library, and I would take out three or four at a time, and I'd have to. It was, you know, like a five, I don't know, like a 5 mile bike ride, and I always went and got those books. They were fantastic books. I was always surprised that, you know, as popular as MASH is, that they didn't find a way to bring those to TV.
I actually bought them brand new at a bookstore when I was in a grade school as well. And I'd get each one when it came out. They're 12 in all. And people just don't even know they exist anymore. And so it's interesting. And so I'm going back through each one of those to talk about in the book just for a little bit. I mean, God knows we don't need a chapter on each one of these books. But just a little bit in saying, hey, here's what they did with these characters. And this is like a completely different universe from what you know from the TV show or from the movie. And then, so doing a bit of that. So, yeah, I'm right along with you. I would read all of those.
Great. Well, you come back when those books are ready. We'd love to have you come back.
I'd be happy to. It's been great talking.
Same here. Folks, listen, you can order Dale Sherman's new filmography, Quentin Tarantino FAQ, from great retailers everywhere, or you can get it right now at a great price from MrMedia.com. If you're watching on MrMedia.com, to the left or to the right below Dale, you will see the cover of his book. You can click on it right now and get it electronically. You can get the ebook immediately, or you can get it via drone. I understand Amazon can deliver in 30 minutes or less via drone now. Don't hold me to that. That's just what I hear. Either way, you can click on the book cover, order the book right now through Mr. Media. Dale, do you have a website? Are you on Twitter or Facebook, any of those things?
Well, you can find me on Facebook, of course. I'm out there just like everybody else. And also, I do have a blog, and it's dalesherman.blogspot.com. I may want to double-check that. It's called Dale Sherman Writer at Large.
Okay.
And you can find me out there. I'm usually on there about once a week or so to say something about usually some kind of connection with the book. So it's something new to add to what I've already written.
I think we call that marketing.
Yeah.
All right. Dale Sherman, thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank news and comment. Do you like good stories?
Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry, and some make me sad, and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at BuzzBurbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Weekday mornings right here on the Realm Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the George and Tony Entertainment Show. Prepare for awesome mediocrity.
We're the Cousin Oliver of the Realm Network. I'm George.
And I'm Tony.
And we're a weekly family-friendly podcast about pop culture.
From our point of view.
At RealmNetwork.com. The George and Tony Entertainment Show. From the Realm Network.
This is Snake. Do you read me, Otacon?
Loud and clear, Snake.
Did you listen to the latest episode of the Gaming Marathon on the Realm Network?
Of course. They really know their stuff about gaming, especially that Usid guy.
Yeah, but that Chirac guy is a real jerk. I don't like him.
Regardless, their reviews are spot on and they tell it like it is.
That's for sure.
What happened, Snake? Were you spotted?
Nah, it's just Lowell Meltzer crying about the O's again.
Close call.
I better continue the search for Metal Gear, but keep listening to the Gaming Marathon each week.
You got it, Snake.
New every Monday afternoon right here on the Realm Network.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said that they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
What you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
Oh, yeah. These are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot. Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
Resistance is futile. It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights.